positive enlightenment. All you need in one place, here at HRNradio.com.
Hello, my friends. It is Wednesday, December 13th, and this is the Healing Sound Show, December 13th, 2017. I am Jonathan Goldman. You're tuned to HealthyLife.net. My guest for this show is the illustrious Paul Temple. Now, Paul's been a musician and a meditator for many years. He started with piano lessons at the age of 10 in his native Massachusetts and continued on, basically majoring in music at Bennington College. He quickly found the paths of music and spiritual exploration to be closely linked and delved into Tibetan Buddhism, Sufism, mantra chanting, Native American shamanism, and yoga in his search for understanding. This led to many musical incarnations, including Voice of the Earth, Tribal Electra, and the Mountain Trance Medicine Band. He's also produced albums with the venerable Dhyani Wahoo, Panache Desai, and most recently with Deepa Pramal. Paul's latest musical venture is Radiance Matrix, which creates beautiful meditational music on Tibetan bowls, enhancing their energy with flutes, mantra, Tibetan throat singing, and other chanting. His newest album, Radiance Mixes with Deepa Pramal, was released March 2017 and reached number 5 on the iTunes World Music Chart. Wow. Hey, rather than talking anymore, let me just introduce you to Paul Temple, who I will acknowledge has been a friend for many decades, because we both knew each other in Massachusetts. So hello, Paul Temple.
Greetings, greetings. So wonderful to be here with you, Jonathan. I'm most grateful for your invitation to be on the Healing Sound Show. And yes, I was remembering this morning, actually, that we got together when your son was just about to be born and you just released Dolphin Dreams and my first daughter, Tashi, had just been born and you taught me how to do overtone chanting, which I would use to put my daughter to sleep in the middle of the night, and she would wake up screaming, going, "Nyr," the Nyr technique. So that was one of the first healing sounds transmissions I got from you.
Ah, great, Paul. And, well, Dolphin Dreams, I am actually going to be still utilizing it for a online program that I am working on. So it's interesting. I like to think that certain types of music has a shelf life that may transcend all realms of consciousness, time, and space. But anyway, let us talk about you. Paul, I've had many people on this show. We're actually next year going to be going into our 11th year. Wow. And this first question to me is extraordinary telling, not the, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, but it really, you know, allows us to find out a whole lot about who the guest is. And, you know, my question is that, you know, you are on a particular path. You're, you know, we'll talk more about it later, but you've been, you know, working with music and meditation for many years, and yet for a lot of people, you know, how they got there was a long, slow journey, and for others, it was literally like a flash of lightning that hit them. And they knew what they were going to do. How did you get to be where you are? How did, ultimately, how did you manifest as Radiance Matrix, which is like, you know, probably many years down the line?
Wow. That's a big question.
Yeah, I know.
Music has always been my primary draw in life. Ever since, you know, I started piano lessons at age 10. Even before then, I was singing. I was part of this kind of children's theater group where we did musical theater. And, but, you know, my father was a very kind of earthly, pragmatic businessman, and he thought the arts and music were frivolous and silly things to pursue. But, you know, against that resistance, just music always called me. When I wanted to be a music major in college, he thought that was a terrible idea, and, you know, what are you going to do with your life? And but it's just, there was no question that that was just, that was my path and my passion. And So, you know, it just called me, and it called me in many ways. And those muses that I've become more familiar with over the years are constantly guiding me and talking to me. And one thing I've reflected back on is that probably in the first 30, 40 years of my life as a musician, it was really about my own healing. It was about learning how the sound and the vibration and the different types of music were reweaving my own brain synapses. I had some birth trauma and some brain damage, and I had other kind of traumatic events in my adolescence. And I could feel, particularly like playing Bach, two-handed Bach, like Bach inventions on the piano, is I was doing that and pushing through to get my fingers to play that music, I could feel the synapses in my brain reweaving and channels opening that had been shut down. And as I deepened into different kinds of music, like African drumming, again, it was regenerating my own vibrational remembrance in my own energy body and bringing me back to this level of remembering that connection between Nada Brahma, you know, the pure vibrational creator that is the creation of the universe, with my own musical process and my own vibrational awareness. And, you know, you had to work through the glamours of rock and roll and music and life on earth. And to work when the Tibetan Bowls called me about 5 years ago, it was just like, wow, this is amazing. And it was a culmination of both my spiritual practice in Tibetan Buddhism, my understanding of sound healing, vibrational purity, and my musical knowledge to put together the bowls in a way that actually creates both a healing vibrational field and a musical concert experience. That's sort of the quick evolution. I don't know if that answered the question or not, but
that is quick, and you just jumped into the major question that I had for the next portion of the show. I don't know if I want to go there yet, because you did. You know, you're talking about the Tibetan bowls, and you've been working with them for about 5 years. Now, I guess the first thing is a lot of people are into really crystal bowls, but Tibetan bowls, not so much. That used to be probably about 20 years ago, and then they got sort of replaced by crystal bowls, and now you have, in your wisdom, brought forth again Tibetan bowls. What can you tell us first about traditional Tibetan bowls?
Well, you know, the bowls come from an ancient Himalayan healing tradition and kind of healing and meditation. They're used in the Himalayas, and that's, you know, they go back sort of pre colonial territory. So Tibet, Nepal, Bhutan, that whole area that is immersed in the ancient Tibetan Buddhist traditions, the teachings of Padmasambhava. The bowls were designed to have this very, very pure sonic resonance. And what my guides, what the bowls, because there are guides that come with the bowls that are ancient Tibetans, the vibrational field of the bowls is very similar to what they call the pure Vajra light or the diamond light. That pure radiant essence that is at the center of our hearts and our energetic beings. Very similar to the Gayatri light or the pure Christ light. You know, just that, wow, awakening radiance. So the bowls, they're made from seven metals. They're hand-hammered and cast in the Himalayas, are made to create that kind of pure vibrational field. And the crystal bowls are amazing. They don't draw me. I find there's something about the metal bowls and the grounding of the metal, the earthliness of the metal, that for me is, you know, they're my path right now and create a very amazing experience, particularly when combined with, I do Vajrayana practice, which is diamond light practice from Tibetan Buddhism.
By God, was that a Tibetan monk you got somewhere in your closet over there?
Yeah. Yeah. Meet Lashing Radiance Matrix. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, indeed. So here's a question. I know that on one level, there are also not all bowls are ancient. Not all bowls are created from the seven precious, semi-precious metals. Would you agree with that as a statement?
Yes, you know, well, both fortunately and unfortunately, in Nepal in particular, the industry of creating and exporting Tibetan bowls has gotten to be quite an economic factor there. So there are people that are making cheap bowls and selling them into the U.S. markets. That, you know, it's great for Nepal because they need that economic boost. But it is created this influx of lower quality bowls that are not in the both the, from the tradition and of good sonic quality. I have the benefit of working with a wonderful Nepali man who lives in Boulder here, named Sorden Shretra,
mm-hmm.
who has a company called Serenity Tibet, and he's also written a book on healing with Tibetan bowls. He travels all over the world teaching. He's a real master of healing with bowls. And he lines up different notes on different chakras and different formations around the bodies to create different contexts for whatever is going on with your mind, body, spirit. He knows the families in Nepal that have been making the bowls for many generations, and that's where he gets his bowls. They're not all ancient. They are, you know, they make the bowls, you know, contemporaneously, but they're still made with the traditional metals, and there's some that are made on the full moon. There's some that are made on the solstices. They are made with, you know, ceremonial and spiritual awareness.
Have you heard that some of the bowls are created as the people making them are chanting mantras, or they're actually literally encoding the bowls with mantras? Have you heard that one?
Yes. I think the full moon bowls, is Seren's line of full moon bowls, are made on the full moon while they are chanting, you know, probably Tibetan mantras. And that also reminds me of Deva Pramal's mantra beads, which I was gifted one from Deva. But she has a line of gold beads that are made from pure organic gold. And the man who makes them imprints a mantra into the gold. So he'll put like Om Mani Padme Hum imprinted in Sanskrit. And then Deva chants a mala bead round into the bead, and these are mantra energetic gifts that Deva offers. They're on Deva Pramal's website. They're called mantra beads. Beautiful. I wear one every time I play, just so that I have her mantra energy with me.
Oh, how lovely! How lovely! And you know, once again, I go to different places, Paul, than the questions I have. One of the things that I was just thinking is, and I've heard this and actually perhaps experienced it myself, have you experienced that the resonance of the bowl will change depending upon your field, your practice with the bowl, and your relationship with it?
Wow. You know, I do, and it's very strange. And when I'm thinking of that from a kind of a musical technical perspective, you know, I want the instrument to sound the same. But I have some bowls that sometimes they line up perfectly harmonically with the other bowls and are right on pitch. And other times, yeah, they generate different overtone structures and the pitch isn't quite right. And I go, how come you're sounding out of tune today?
Yeah, right, you Perhaps it might be a bit like people who play instruments a lot of times, and literally the sound of the instrument will become richer and fuller and perhaps more encoded with the vibrational energy of the person playing the instrument.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah,
luckily,
and there's so. Like, there could also be astrological and, you know, environmental issues there.
There's atmosphere, too, you know, by gosh.
Yeah. But I hadn't really thought of it. I mean, I'm aware that that happens, but until you mentioned it, they could be reflecting some, you know, vibrational dissonance within myself or within the current transmission that is coming through. That's very interesting. Yeah.
I mean, well, one of the things with, and this is, has nothing to do with anything, but I have in the past, like, taken just one Tibetan bowl and struck it and then taken it down, if you like, the field of somebody else. And oftentimes, if there's an imbalance in the field, the vibrations and the sound of the bowl will change, indicating that there may be something a little bit imbalanced in that particular area. It's kind of interesting, I haven't thought about that for a long time. But
and that's the kind of thing that Seren teaches in his healing with bowls.
Mm.
That I can see that you actually kind of diagnose the person's energy body by scanning with the bowl and listening to that resonant relationship between their energy body and the bowl's frequency. And, you know, you can see where those vibrational blocks are happening. I don't do that. I work with the bowls as a musical instrument. But, again, Seren is this master healer who teaches techniques like that.
And Paul, we will continue with this subject, but in the interim, tell us in 10 seconds what gate-gate is, because we're about to listen to a couple of minutes of it.
Gate-gate first is my favorite track from the album with Deva Pramal called Radiance Mixes. Gate-gate is called the Heart Sutra. It is the heart of the Buddha's teachings about just attaining pure enlightenment. Gone to the other shore, bodhisattva. It's when the bodhisattva attains that pure mind awareness. The gate-gate is the mantra that they chant to when they have attained this.
Well, and let's hear some gate-gate with my friend and Paul Temple. And for more information, please contact RadianceMatrix.com. we're going to go to commercial.
Positive Enlightenment. All you need in one place, here at HRNradio.com.
Greetings and welcome back to the December 13th, 2017 Healing Sound Show with me, Jonathan Goldman, my very special guest, Paul Temple, who can be reached at RadianceMatrix.com. I'll say that again, one word, RadianceMatrix.com. Would that be correct, Paul?
That's correct. That's the website.
Nice. All right. And Paul, among other things, has done his various Radiance Matrix material with wonderful Tibetan bowls and flutes and mantras, and he did something with Deepa Pramal. We'll be listening to more later. But Paul, what about some of the other groups that you did, like the Mountain Trance Medicine Band? I remember I saw a video of that, and that was like one of the more unique combinations of it was almost like, you know, bluegrass and you know, the kirtan
techno
stuff.
Technograss, like, you know, call it, yeah, technograss.
Yeah. So, and, you know, tribal, you know, tribal electra.
The Mountain Trance Medicine Band was my leap towards rock and roll, you know, immortality. I played at the same time, 10 years old, when I started studying piano. My mother also gave me a five-string banjo because there was a teacher in my school who played five-string banjo back then, and in the folk revival days of the early 60s. And I just, you know, I must have had some hillbilly incarnation because I just fell in love with clawhammer, old-time frailing banjo. And as I started to learn, you know, later, this was in the early 2000s, about electronic music, and I love good electronic dance music. You know, I love dance, and good EDM is great stuff for getting the body moving. So I put the banjo, the clawhammer banjo, through a wah-wah pedal, and then we programmed beats, and I had a bass player and a drummer and a guy who was running the electronic beats. And, you know, we'd take old Appalachian fiddle tunes. Oh, a fiddle player. And, of course, we had a fiddle player. And we played these old Appalachian fiddle tunes, like, you know, with techno beats under them. And it was
right.
Great. And, but bluegrass people tend to be purist bluegrass, and electronic dance people like don't really like bluegrass. So it didn't really thrive in either one. But we had fun. I played some festivals with it, and we had a good time.
And that's just, you know, talking about purists, I'll just throw this really quick story. And many, many years ago, I was visiting a friend of mine named Kitaro up in the mountains, and for some reason I had a Native American flute with me, and I walked into this one inn that was up there, and there was a bluegrass jam that was going on. They were really rocking, and I walked over with my Native American flute. I hadn't even literally blown a note, and they kind of looked at me and they said, "We're taking a break now." I was going, "Oh man, you didn't even give me a chance." But that was okay. But boy, I mean, the idea of you know, mountain trance music now, it sounds very, you know. But of course, if that had succeeded, you wouldn't be doing your Radiance Matrix, which is, you know, doing really, really wonderfully. Got a question for you. So you've also produced albums for Venerable Dhyani Wahu and Panache Desai, and most recently with Deepa Pramal. What was it, for example, like working with Dhyani Wahu?
The Venerable Dhyani Wahu, as she's now called, is an amazing being who was actually kind of my first real spiritual teacher.
Uh-huh.
And for those who don't know her, she is a Native American Cherokee lineage. She lives way up in the mountains of Vermont, far from the maddening crowd, has a community up there, and, you know, she's just an amazing galactic awareness being, and is also a recognized Dharma teacher through the Drikung Kagyu Tibetan Buddhist lineage, and because she says the teachings are really very similar of the nature of mind, mirror mind, and how to, using different practices to help clarify the mind. So when I was living in the Sunray community in Vermont with Diani Oahu, she's also an amazing musician and was channeling, you know, star being messages through her music. And she taught me about, you know, how we receive vibrational communication and bringing that through in the music. Extraordinary teachings. And so I produced an album with her that was both of us playing music and also had her meditation instruction on it. And, you know, just being in her energy field is extraordinary, and being able to create and co-create music with her was extraordinary.
And what about with Deepa Pramal? You know, we have about 1 minute left, and I'll ask you about either Deepa Pramal, or perhaps you could tell me a little bit about now the Gayatri mantra, which we're about to listen to a couple of minutes of. What can you say in about 30 seconds on that one?
Well, you know, the Gayatri mantra is Deepa Pramal's quintessential transmission. It's still her top-selling track, even though she released her original Gayatri mantra in 1998. It is a transmission of the pure, luminous source of all beings, and asking for the presence and blessing of that pure, luminous source. And I have remixed her vocals with the bowls, and it's, again, just to me, it's an extraordinary transmission of two sonic forces, the Tibetan bowls and Deepa Pramal's voice.
Om Avaya, here we go. Paul Temple, with me, Jonathan Goldman, on the Healing Sound Show.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret. Now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
You are with me, Jonathan Goldman. It is December 13th, 2017. My guest is Paul Temple, and we were just listening to the actually Om Mani Padme Hung chant, not the Gayatri mantra, which we're going to hear next. And that was a lovely chant, Paul. Thank you for allowing us to hear that. And that's from which album is that from?
That is from the Deep Peace Experience album. And it's sort of my quintessential Buddhist radiance transmission of the Om Mani Padme Hum with the Tibetan throat singing, with the Tibetan bowls, and that's where all my Tibetan guides just kind of really are doing their work there.
Ah, interesting. And golly gee, so we go to, if we want to find out more, get some of your music, RadianceMatrix.com. It's the word Radiance, followed by the word Matrix, all one word, Matrix, MATRIX.com. And that's just a fabulous website to get more info, to get the downloads of Paul's music, etc. So, Paul, here's a question of mine. Got to ask. You have been involved with music for practically your whole life. You have also been pretty heavily involved in aspects of the music business. You've traveled and promoted Diva Pramal, for example. What is the difference in being in the music business versus creating your own music when you're in front of an audience? You're still traveling and all that stuff. Can you give us a minute or two about the energetic difference, the consciousness shift?
Ooh, well, you know, it's an interesting weaving of my own path because, as I was saying before, my father was a very pragmatic businessman, and when I was in my 20s, he kind of pushed me to get an MBA, which was, I thought, completely contradictory with my desire to be a spiritual musician. But on my path, it ended up being really an important balance because it got me into the music business. I had this serendipitous, grace to connect with David Pramal and Me10 back around 2001. And I worked with White Swan Records here in Boulder, which was their U.S. label at the time. And having the knowledge of business and markets and finances and all that allowed me to serve this music, this vibrational field that was evolving around mantras and healing music, and kind of be one of the key nodes of that that field, working with David Pramal. I learned a great deal also from them. You know, even though I was working with them in a business relationship, I'm still their U.S. manager and business representative. I learned about presenting and performing and creating space of sacred music and spiritual energetic resonance from them, because that's what they do when they perform. You know, it's under the guise of a concert, but they're really giving this very pure mantric transmission, and I learned how to do that from working with them for all these years. So, again, part of my learning path, part of the grace of refining my own energy field over those years to be able to attune and understand what they were doing.
Nice. So, real quick question, because, time just goes by so quickly. When you work with your Tibetan bowls, you don't work with them in a traditional manner. You actually work with what musically could be called a diatonic scale, or literally you're working with bowls that are C, D, E, F, G, A, B type of thing, which are much more in a Western scale. How do you do that? How do you first of all find them?
Well, a couple of steps there. First of all, I work primarily with a pentatonic scale, which is the five notes. But that is obviously derivative from the diatonic scale. As I said before, I play the bowls as a musical instrument. The bowls are not made to pitch. So most times when you hear a group of Tibetan bowls, they are not on, you know, concert pitch 440, you know, as you say, diatonic, C, D, E, F, G. And I've chosen 440. I know to some music aficionados and sound healing aficionados, 440 is a dubious root resonant pitch. But I use that because I play with other instruments. I play with other singers. I play with keyboards. I play with flutes. And so I've chosen to go with 440. And I'm graced to have this connection with Seren Shlethra, who I mentioned before, of Serenity Tibet, that there is a warehouse with thousands of bowls in it. It's about 2 miles from where I live. So I get to go down there and find bowls that are actually on pitch. And then I get to listen to how the overtone structure of each bowl fits with the others in that, you know, pitch sequence, like the C, G, C, or A, E, E, you know, how the octaves and the fifths relate to each other.
Please say some more.
Okay. Well, actually, you know what I'm getting? Because you mentioned, you said before the word quantum resonance. And
yeah.
That's sort of resonating with me right now. And I'm getting that, you know, in terms of sound healing, in the field that the bowls create, when one, and they allow you to drop into a state of, a deep state of meditation. That's one of the tools and the gifts of the bowls, is they still the mind and awaken that pure Vajra presence. It allows us to drop into the quantum, what, you know, Joe Dispenza calls the quantum consciousness, where
nice.
We are getting out of daily mind and able to connect with that universal omniscient awareness. And that's really what, so the quantum resonance allows us to drop into quantum consciousness. And that's really one of the great gifts of the bowls, as they take us there very quickly.
Beautiful. Hey, let's give a listen to what I trust is going to be the Gayatri Mantra. And if it isn't, hey, it'll be lovely anyway. And then we'll go to commercial with Paul Temple. I'm Jonathan Goldman. This is the Healing Sound Show.
Music, information, and friends. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, my friends. It is Wednesday, December 13th, and my guest is Paul Temple. I am Jonathan Goldman. We just listened to Palace of Light, which is from Paul. Which album is that from?
Palace of Light is also on Deep Peace Experience.
It's just lovely, and if you want to get more of Paul's material or information about what he's doing, what he's touring, what he's etc., go to RadianceMatrix.com. And actually, this is our last bit, if you like. And if you could tell me, like, what are you doing now? What is? Are you teaching? Are you writing? Are you traveling? What's up with Paul Temple's life?
Well, with the launch of Radiance Mixes last March, which was the album with Deva that is it's doing very well all over the world. It went through Deva Mitten's international distribution network. I've been touring. I did a West Coast tour in the summer and then just got back about, well, it's a month ago now, from an East Coast tour, doing New York, Montreal, Toronto, Chicago, also Burlington, Vermont. And right now I'm sort of in this deep winter solstice time of decompressing a busy year and envisioning a new year. And we've been doing some concerts and ceremony. You know, we have a winter solstice ceremony celebration coming up on the 21st with the format that I call the Sound Temple, which is really just a deep meditative space with the bowls that we drop into the stillness and the silence.
Nice. You have something called Double Rainbow Ranch, and you give concerts and stuff there too, yes?
Yes. It's kind of our local Boulder venue. We've turned the chicken barn on the ranch into a yoga studio and concert space, and that's where we will be doing our winter solstice gathering. And then in January, you know, it kind of the momentum starts up again. I'm doing an event with Greg. What's his name? Greg. I should have his name on the tip of my tongue, but the visionary
Braden,
Cryon.
Greg Braden. Okay, you're doing something
there. Greg Braden. There we go. Thank you. Greg Braden and Cryon. The second weekend in January, I've been playing at that event for many years, and then off, starting to plan some more concerts. So I love doing live concert transmissions.
Great. Well, so listen, I have a question for you. If you had 1 minute to talk about the power of vibration, consciousness, and healing, what would you say?
Wow. How do you encapsulate the entire universe into 1 minute?
Yes, indeed.
You know, I always come back to Nada Brahma. Nada Brahma is Sanskrit, and it means sound or vibration, which is nada. And Brahma is the supreme creator. So vibration is really that primordial creative force. And when we create vibration through music or through chanting or through humming, you're brilliant. The humming is just brilliant. We are creating. We are tapping into that divine creative source. It's a power that we really have a hard time grokking as human beings. And it gets, you know, kind of packaged and distorted into, you know, the glamours of life on Earth with rock and roll and popular music and you know, what we call music. But music has been packaged and particularly commercialized and digitized that has lost that connection of the awareness to divine source. You know, in the medieval days of cathedrals and in the temples of India, you know, they knew that when they were creating music, they were bringing in that direct connection to divine source.
Ah,
quantum consciousness. It is that
beautiful, Paul. Paul Temple and his fabulous website, RadianceMatrix.com. And I am going to attempt to play the Gayatri mantra for the last time.
It's a great one to go out on because it is.
Let's see if this is really going to be happening. Paul, it's been a fabulous time having you as a guest. Thank you so very, very much.
Thank you,
Your
Jonathan.
Work is just brilliant. You are an extraordinary being, and it's a blessing to have you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Here we go. We trust.
Thank you, Jonathan. That's the one. We got it right this time.
That's the one.
Thank you, Deepa Pramal. Thank you all for listening. We're going to commercial now, and I will be right back for a round.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Well, it is December 13, 2017. We had a fabulous guest with Paul Temple, and I first of all wish you a great holiday season and a happy new year. Please tune in on January 10th when we have a great guest with Sandra Barrett, PhD, who's going to be talking about Secret of Your Cells. And don't forget, on February 14th, World Sound Healing Day, we're going to have a special double-length World Sound Healing Day show. So that should be fabulous. Tune in then. This is Jonathan Goldman sending you blessings of light and love through sound. Bye-bye now.